Scripture comes from the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give life or death that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be made clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he surely would come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if this prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, Mark 40, verses 40 through 45. A leper came to him begging, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left the man and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And the people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and gracious God, your word lights our paths and soothes our souls. We come and ask that your word would guide us and lead us, helping us to serve as best we can. Be with us, O Lord, as we listen to how you are calling your church through your word to serve you. In your name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has just begun his public ministry. He's just set out and started to go from town to town, casting out demons and proclaiming the message in the synagogues, as well as healing people. Remember what I said last week, that word of Jesus would have spread from person to person, bit by bit, piece by piece, almost like the game telephone that some of us played when we were kids. And now we see the result of that spread. We see the result of how that word has reached others. But then we also see this moment where Jesus commands this leper not to say anything. It could be tempting to spin a bit of a yarn about this leper who found his way to Jesus, talking about how we know a background of his that we really don't know. The fact is, the great story could be that he's traveled many miles and gone and followed from many towns until he finally came upon Jesus. Or maybe the story is as plain as he was in the next town over and heard of Jesus and came. The reality is that his story does not need to be understood in anything other than his affliction. We need to understand the full weight of his affliction as we understand this miracle. To truly understand the people who come to Christ to be healed, we need to understand what is wrong, how it affects and afflicts their lives. Because often there isn't just a standard problem. There isn't just the normal issue that they're dealing with. There's usually a greater issue. With this man, the issue isn't just his physical illness. The issue is the societal constraints that come with his illness. As a leper, there is the physical toll to his body. But as a leper, there is the emotional and mental toll of having to announce himself as he comes down the road, shouting unclean, unclean everywhere he goes. Separated from family and friends and whatever life he had before his leprosy. Now, it's a bit of a mistake and a false equivalency these days to have people compare COVID and other things like that to leprosy. We often get into these false equivalencies because we want to understand and really figure out how it works within us. But the fact is, we cannot understand as much as we can learn about. The reality is we generally look at leprosy in a 21st century mind where it is mostly curable through medicine. Well, guess what? Such medicines did not exist during Jesus' time. Now the disease damages the nerves, the respiratory tract, the skin, and the eyes. The damage to the nerves causes the extremities to be injured without notice. Imagine breaking a bone and not knowing that it was broken. Imagine having your body rot on itself. And imagine the fear associated with such a disease that was contagious, but not very much so. In the Middle Ages, the 12th and the 13th century in Europe, there was a surge of cases, and so those affected were cast out of cities, thrown to the outskirts of society, with no more charity than those who had suffered during Jesus' time. It's a double whammy of a diagnosis, because not only are you physically ill, but you are societally ill as well and cast out. So when this man comes to be healed, he's not just seeking healing for the physical issue he has, but his healing is needed for the societal aspect as well. You must understand that constantly shouting unclean, unclean, and having the scattering of crowds around you as you did so takes a toll on a person. His journey to wholeness is harder than just being healed of the disease. Think of what happens with Naaman. Look at the king's view of how impossible it is to heal this man, this mighty warrior who brings all these money and gifts, and seemingly, no matter how rich he is, how well he is doing, he still cannot be healed. And yet Naaman still is healed through God. By understanding this disease, we do two things with this miracle. We understand the very depth of the healing. If you want to understand the pit that you're stuck in, you must first look into it. You must first see what the pit looks like. And then you gain an understanding of how deep your gratitude really is. You understand and gain an appreciation for what Jesus does for this man, what Jesus did. But the other piece is you understand the lack of silence on this man's part. You understand why it was when Jesus reaches out that hand and pulls him out of the pit of his misery, the pit of his disease. He is healed and goes and announces it to the world. He goes and doesn't sit on the sidelines quietly, but announces what Jesus has done for him. He goes. Now, there is an issue here for us to deal with. And it's not simple to deal with, because when Jesus does heal him, Jesus tells him to go and do something. Jesus tells him that he needs to go and show himself to the priests, offer the necessary sacrifices, and all of that. All of those pieces and parts which would have restored him to society. So he has had the physical healing, but now comes the parts and the parcels to lead to the more societal healing in his life. But instead of going and doing that task, that restorative task, this man goes and announces all that Jesus has done. Instead of going and doing as Christ has told him, he goes and announces. And that puts us in a quandary, because are we to look at this man and lift him up, lift up his example of how he has gone forth and announced all these good things that Jesus has done? Meanwhile, he disobeyed this very instruction of Christ. Are we to say, to criticize him for not listening to Christ and yet ignore his joy and action after he is healed? Then there's the third option of simply dismissing Jesus' statement as entirely and saying, well, Jesus said it meant it tongue in cheek. Well, unfortunately, we don't have the option to dismiss what was said. We don't have the option to do any of these three. Because this is why Scripture causes us to wrestle with it and learn from it. This is why Scripture is. Because on the one side, we can look at this man and lift him up. And at the other, we can look at his lack of following Christ and listening to what Christ said as a natural process of humanity. We don't always listen and do as Christ commands, do we? But in the same manner, we also can go and cry out and explain to a world all that Christ has done. The difficulty is we want to live in a world that is black and white, good and bad, and the world is not such, it's gray. And here we have a moment where we both can lift up this man and also look at his example and say, well, it wasn't as good as it could be. Jesus prioritizes the actions the man needs to take. Jesus gives him a task to do. And instead, he goes and does something else. The fact of the matter is, we need to look at this and look at the man in it. He is not perfect. He is not Christ. He is merely a man who has been healed by Christ. He is a man who cannot have his gratitude silenced, who cannot have the joy of his restoration lessened. He's also a human being who fails at times to serve God as best he can, who doesn't always do as he should. And so we wrestle here because, like him, we too have that in which we can be have lifted up, but also that which is not as beautiful. The fact is, we need to look and remember that he is both sides in this. He is a disobedient follower of Christ, but he is also a wonderful example of how you can follow Christ. He is both. He is not perfect. Instead of focusing on one or the other, we must take both together. We must take both parts of him as our example. We need to look and wonder if we are as bold in our gratitude towards God as he is. Are we as grateful for all that God does? Are we willing to go forth and announce to the world all that God has done for us and not keep silent? Scripture teaches that even the rocks and the trees would cry out if we were to be silent. And so this man goes forth. But the other part of this is that Christ is the only one who has ever been perfect. And so we must also show a bit of charity towards him. Not condemnation, but charity. Because no, he is not perfect. No, he does not do what is asked. And we need to look with charity on him because of that. Because it is through charity and understanding that we too can see that we too are in need of a little of charity. We too need to have a little more grace towards one another and towards ourselves. The fact is, we too are faced with moments like this. And we too will do what is right and what is disobedient almost in the same moment. Our challenge, brothers and sisters, is how are we going to be the best and boldest disciples of Christ as we can be? The challenge is, how can we understand and make the best moment as this man does? Not perfectly, not the best, but as good as we can. The fact is, he is bold in how he goes out. He is bold in going to his world. Are we so bold? My challenge to you, brothers and sisters, is how can we be this bold? How can we go forth announcing all that Christ is doing and has done in our lives with a joy that cannot be quiet. Brothers and sisters, may we go forth in boldness. Amen.